Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself. What is denying yourself? Denying your selfishness, denying your sin, denying your habits, denying your addiction, denying your, oh me, I'm so great and I'm so awesome and you're nobody. Denying all that junk, picking up your cross, saying no to self and following after Jesus.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Crucified and Risen by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our focus is on making Christ visible from the way that we worship, to the way that we serve, to the way that we love one another. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message.
When kids are little, they love to copy their parents. Little girls will pretend to be like their moms. They will try to do makeup, and they will try to carry a purse or pretend to cook in the kitchen, the toy kitchen they have. Boys do the same thing. I don't know if you have little boys. They will try to shave. I remember our little ones trying to pretend to shave. Or they will walk around with a toolbox or try to cut grass. Not really, not in my life. They didn't have that opportunity. I don't like cutting grass. But they love to copy. They love to copy adults. The point is that we copy those whom we look up to. It's no different when we get saved. When we place our faith in the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus, not only are we saved, but we also deny ourselves and we pick up our cross and we follow after Jesus. We understand what the true gospel is. The true gospel demands that we daily consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. His cross gives us forgiveness. His resurrection breaks the power of sin and death. But then we pick up our cross and we die to ourselves. We are buried and we walk in the newness of life. This morning, we're going to try to understand this. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to two passages. The first is Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. And the second passage is Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And once again, let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 and 35. And when he, meaning Jesus, had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." Listen, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My old ways, and I'm willing to follow Jesus Christ. Have you ever come to the cross of Jesus?" You cannot deny yourself, pick up your cross, unless you have been to the cross where Jesus gave his life. If you haven't done that today, as I pray, you pray and ask Jesus to come into your life. You pray and ask him to forgive you of your sins, and you pray and submit your life to your Savior, to your King. As you know, we're in our series on the gospel. What is the gospel? What is the true gospel? Last weekend we learned that salvation is not your free ticket into heaven. It's also your allegiance to follow your Savior and your King. You have sworn allegiance to him, that you will obey him and follow him no matter the cost. This weekend we're going to go one step further. We're going to learn that the gospel is much more than just believing that Jesus died and he rose again 2,000 years ago. It's a call to live daily the crucified and the resurrected life. In other words, salvation begins by trusting the historical facts of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus, but it leads to a daily commitment to die to self and to live the newness of life. This morning, first we're going to look at the cross of Jesus, the empty tomb of Jesus, and then we're going to talk about our cross and our empty tomb. So let's begin. The first is the historical fact of the cross and the empty tomb. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, and all these verses will be on the screen. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel." Means I'm about to give you the definition of the gospel. This is what gets you saved, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. What is the gospel, Paul? He says it right here, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. The first ingredient of the gospel is Jesus died according to the scriptures. But that's not it. Here comes the second ingredient, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to scriptures. Two ingredients in the gospel. Jesus died, he was buried, but he rose again. Let's focus on the Jesus died. Let's focus on the cross for a few moments. The cross was the most visible and shameful form of punishment in the ancient world. More than likely, the Assyrians or the Babylonians came up with this. Means almost 1,000 years or more before the coming of Christ. The Persians, the Greeks, and especially the Romans perfected the cross. They used to hang people on trees. And then the Romans realized, man, you're messing up trees. Why don't we have planks? And we can nail them to the plank and we can use it and reuse it. But it was the most gruesome and grotesque form of punishment. God in his sovereignty, in his foreknowledge, chose this form of punishment to bring his salvation into this world. Now, God could have chosen many ways. He could have chosen hanging. He could have chosen beheading. God could have even chosen immolation, burned the person. He could have used stoning. You know, the Old Testament way of punishing a sinner was stoning them. But what can you imagine someone being stoned? How would they be? They wouldn't be standing like this. They would be crouching on the ground. You cannot see it. The first layer of people can, but the ones back there, they can't see him. God chose the cross because this was one gruesome form of punishment, but the victim was held high so that people far away could see him. They could see who was being crucified. Simultaneously, God did two things. Seeing someone crucified, he showed his wrath against sin. This is how much God hates sin. You and I are sinners. We were meant to be nailed to the cross. We were meant to suffer for our sins. So you see that on the cross. But also you see the love of God. God did not say, hey, come on. You're going to die on the cross, or you come over here. You're going to die on the cross. He said, no, guess what? You can't do it. I'm going to give my son to die for you. You say, why would you do that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You see, simultaneously, God used a cruel, a grotesque way of killing a convict. He used it to show his wrath against sin and show his love towards us. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. He says, God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrates his love. This cross is a demonstration of how much he loves you. If no one has told you this morning they love you, know that God loves you. But something else, much more than having been now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath. Means this is also a display of this is how much God hates sin. The early church was very careful about bringing out the aspect of the cross, of mentioning the actual physical death of Jesus on the cross. In fact, listen to how Peter preached the message on the day of Pentecost. In Acts 2:22, he said, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves as also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death. In other words, the crucifixion of Jesus was not something spiritual. The crucifixion of Jesus was not something mythological. It was a real Roman cross on which Jesus was really truly nailed for your sins. How can you be saved? Listen carefully. It doesn't matter how long you've been in church. It doesn't matter how much money you give to church. It doesn't matter if your granddaddy built the church. It doesn't matter how much you love the church. If you don't believe in the actual physical death of Jesus on the cross, you're not saved. That has to happen. This is the gospel. Jesus died according to scriptures. But that's not it. Not only he died, but he also physically, bodily resurrected from the grave. There's also the resurrection. You see, God in his divine immense wisdom included resurrection as part of salvation. I mean, think about it for a moment. Jesus died. He paid the penalty of my sins. It's over. Oh, does it matter if he comes back to life? Does it matter if he rises again? Yes, it does. Because if Jesus only died, guess what? He was just human. Humans die all the time. And no human can die for my sins. By coming back to life, what Jesus was proving, what God was proving was this, that Jesus was not just a human, he was also the Son of God. And you cannot kill God. But he died to prove that he has forever taken your sins upon himself and has paid the penalty of your sins. But he rose again because he was sinless. Y'all get the points? Y'all get it? He died, but he had to rise again to prove that he was God and to prove that he paid for your sins and to prove that he himself was sinless. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:17. It's on the screen. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. By rising from the grave, something else Jesus did. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits. You know what that word first fruits means? It means the first harvest. We have many farmers here. When you harvest your crops, the first harvest tells you sort of what's coming later. Jesus became the first harvest to show us if you believe in him, this is what's going to come for you. You also are going to rise one day physically. This morning, it's not enough just to believe in the cross. It's also important to believe in the resurrection. In fact, the early church preach the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. Listen to Peter on the day of Pentecost again. Listen to how he says in Acts 2:24, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. How powerful is that? You could not keep Jesus in the grave, but you can't keep God in the grave. He's alive. He's eternal. And he finished our redemption, and he rose again. By the way, did you notice something? The cross was visible to everyone. Jesus died in the sight of the whole world. He was put on a cross, and the cross was put on a hill called Calvary so that people far and wide could see him. But when Jesus rose from the grave, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that not that many people saw him. I mean, there were disciples saw him, 500 people saw him, but not the whole world. Jesus did not go to everyone. If I was Jesus, I would have gone to the temple first and said, guess what, guys? Remember me? He didn't do that. He only met with a select few. Why did he do that? Listen carefully. Jesus had to be lifted up high so that all could see, but he had to be verified by a select few so that faith would be the key. He wants you to believe in him not because he has convinced you. He wants you to believe in him by faith. I believe. I trust God's word. You see, if Jesus were to go around showing himself to all of us, there is no need for faith. It's faith to be saved. You not only believe in the cross, but you also believe in the empty tomb that Jesus bodily rose again. This morning, the question for all of us is this: have you ever believed in the true gospel? What is the true gospel? You have to believe that Jesus died, but you also have to believe that he rose again the third day. Have you done that? I mean, have you placed your faith in that fact? Listen, have you ever prayed that prayer, the sinner's prayer that says, Jesus, 2,000 years ago, I believe you came according to God's plan, died on that cross, and you paid for my sins. But you rose again the third day to prove that you were God, to prove that you had paid for my sins, and to prove that one day I will rise again. If you haven't prayed right now, as I keep preaching, you pray that prayer. You ask Jesus to save you. That is the true gospel. Nothing else saves you, folks. That's what saves you. You start praying that prayer. You start asking Jesus to forgive you. You start asking him to come into your life. You commit yourself to following him as your king. There's also a present reality when it comes to the cross and the empty tomb. You see, once you believe in Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection from the grave, we have to go on and believe in another cross and another resurrection. This is our cross, our resurrection. You know, we began with that passage in Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. When he had called the people to himself, when Jesus asked the people to come to him with his disciples also, what did he say to them? Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself. What is denying yourself? Denying your selfishness, denying your sin, denying your habits, denying your addiction, denying your, oh me, I'm so great and I'm so awesome and you're nobody. Denying all that junk, picking up your cross, saying no to self and following after Jesus. Whoever, what does it say? Whoever desires to save his life. He said, I'm not going to go to this cross. Can't do that. What's the reply? You will lose his life. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he said, okay, I'm going to take it. And the gospels will actually save it. What was Jesus saying here? He was not offering salvation by self-crucifixion. He was not saying, find you a cross and go nail yourself. All right, Jesus, in your name, I'm doing this. That's not what he was saying. What he was saying is be willing to live the crucified life. If you're not willing to live this, you can't have this. It means simply being willing to see yourself dead to sin and your selfishness and your selfish desires. That's why when some people get saved, I got saved. Well, you're going to be different. Well, you know, God knows my heart. Well, you know, everybody makes mistakes. I just, you know, we all have a bad day. I mean, I don't know. Well, you know, my life just stinks and I had a bad life and parents were not there and I just, you know, I don't know why all bad things just always happen to me and life just, you know, well, you know what? Sometimes I feel like God even hates me. No, that's not a crucified life. That is a very, very selfish, self-centered life that says, pity me, please pity me. And people play that game as husbands and wife, and they make their husbands miserable, or they make their wives miserable by acting that way. Or they make their parents miserable, or they make their children miserable, or they make their friends miserable by this self-indulgence. When you sign up for this, you're saying, me is over. It's not about me. And how do you do that? Do you find yourself a wooden cross and walk with it? No, listen to what Paul says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 again. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been. Means you're not trying to, I got to die to myself. I got to die to me, you know. No, you have been. It's finished. You have to acknowledge that. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. If you have truly received this, you're already on this. You simply have to acknowledge it. Here's another reference that may help you. Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. Paul says, likewise, you also, what's the word there? Reckon yourself. Now, I know this is the South, so I have to clarify. When you say reckon in the South, you're saying, you're going to be there tonight? I reckon. But that's not the reckon we're talking about. Okay, I don't know where we came up with that meaning. Maybe it's somewhere someone came up with that and everybody else has been copying it wrong. Reckon really means it's a computing word. It's a calculating word, which means I'm going to count on it. It's done. It's in the books. Likewise, you also count on it. It's done. It's in the books. That you are what? Dead indeed to sin. It's done. It means you accept your old self as done. You don't go back to sin. You don't indulge in the old ways anymore. It's buried. What happened to Jesus? What did they do with Jesus' body after they took it off the cross? They put it in a tomb. What happens to you? Once you are crucified with Christ, it's done. Your old self, your old sinful nature is also put in a tomb. Many of us are tomb raiders. We go dig it back up. We bring it out on special occasions. When you're having a bad day, you let everybody have it. Your old anger comes out. Your old bitterness comes out. The old self comes out. The old retaliation comes out. You know what you're really doing? You're digging up that corpse. Can you imagine that? Bringing out an old body that's been in the grave, and you dust it up and you put it on. You say, well, how do you think? You look great, honey. Yeah. And then we put it on social media. How do you think about all this? See how nasty I can be. Oh, that looks great. Wow, what are you wearing, corpse? Oh, no, this is just me being me. Yeah, this is the old you have dug back up. Now, if you only stay with the self-crucified life, you will only have a morbid, musty understanding of Christianity, that I'm dead, oh, it's not me, I've died to me, you know, I got to die to me. That's not what Paul stops at. He says what? He says something about being resurrected as well. Listen to Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. You know what baptism is? When I baptize people, I'm immersing them in the water. It's a symbol of dying. You're telling the world that you died. And you were buried with Christ. It's a watery grave. You're going down. The old me is being put in a grave. And that, in a sense, kind of scary. But in a sense, it's liberating. The old me is dead. You have to, by faith, believe this. This is the gospel. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. But now listen to this, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Just the way Jesus rose from the grave, when you receive Christ in your life, you also come out of the grave. You are a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What does Paul say? Let's go back to Paul for a second. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh means when you see me now, flesh and blood, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, you cannot understand this life unless you take it by faith. The old me is dead. The old me was buried. And the new me has risen by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but also what? But alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Means you have to also count on it. I find it amusing when people say, it doesn't matter what church you go to as long as you go to a church. Like, maybe. They better preach the whole gospel, because if not, they're going to put you on, what is that, hamster wheel? You know, you're just going to run. One day just collapse with a spiritual cardiac arrest. You're trying to live the Christian life. It's not about that. Once you receive this, you are enrolled in this. And if you don't want this, you cannot have this. But if you want this and you trust God enough, you know that you've already been put in the grave and you have risen to walk in the newness of life. There's nothing more that you're waiting for. God has already put his power in you. So I don't feel anything. By faith. What happens when you get saved? Who comes inside of you? The Holy Spirit comes inside of you. What is his job? Well, let's read what his job is. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. You can either look here or look there, but I want you to really look at this passage. But if the Spirit of him, who is him? A Spirit of Jesus, a Spirit of the Father. And who is the Spirit? The third person of the Godhead. We know God the Father is the one who poured his wrath upon the Son and displayed his love towards you. God the Son died, was buried, he rose again for our sins. But there's another person waiting, who is the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The job of making this happen is not you. If you walk out there saying, man, I'm thinking. Yes, me dead. Yes, buried. Oh, yes, buried. Oh, yes, risen to walk. No, if you do that, you're misunderstanding the message. It's the Holy Spirit's job to make it real. Your job is to submit to the Holy Spirit. Your job is to every moment say, Holy Spirit, not my will, but yours be done. Dying to self means dying to all those things that you thought were so precious and made you who you were. Me, my education, my reputation, my family tree, my accomplishments, my friend circle. God's going to one by one knock those things down. And then when you are on the ground going, well, nothing's left, God said, well, good. Now let me build you the way you're meant to be. And all this happens not through your self-effort. It happens through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit. Will you slip and fall? Will sometime the old nature come out? Of course. What do you do when the old nature comes out? You say, get back in that grave. Enough of me. I'm done. And from this point on, I want the new me to live, the one the Holy Spirit has made real in me, and I submit to him. Say no to sin, say no to myself, and I say yes to you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and rose again on the third day, and that should change the way that you and I live our lives. Trust in Christ for salvation from sin, and believe in the resurrection for the promise of eternal life. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.